Wellness looks different at every stage. The right support makes all the difference. Shake up your routine with Vital Proteins Collagen Peptides. With 20 grams of collagen sourced from grass-fed, pasture-raised bovine. It helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, bones, and joints. Made with no artificial sweeteners, it's a clean way to fuel your body. So your wellness stays effortless wherever the day takes you. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit VitalProteins.com to get started. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Indeed Sponsored Jobs gets you quality candidates when you need them most. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The Laugh by Handheld Mirror. When I was young, in late elementary school, I had just moved in with my dad. He didn't have custody of me before that, and since he was a recovering alcoholic, he had a hard time finding a job, so we were living in an apartment. It was on the second floor, and there was a sidewalk that ran right past the building. It wasn't great, but it was enough for us. Now, it was me, my dad, and my older brother. My brother and I shared a room since it was only a two-bedroom apartment. I slept on a cot right in front of the window facing away from it. My brother slept on the opposite side of the room facing the closet. When I was a kid, I was really skittish. I was scared of everything. We had to keep the door open at night in case I ran to my dad's room because I was terrified of something. This was one of those nights where I just couldn't sleep. That part wasn't unusual. What was unusual was that, at some point, I noticed something felt off. I didn't know how to explain it, just that something had changed. I then realized everything was completely quiet. Too quiet. The air conditioner wasn't running anymore. I couldn't hear any city noise, no sirens or cars in the distance. I couldn't even hear my brother snoring, which he had been doing earlier. Normally, there's always some kind of background noise at night, and that's usually what would help me fall asleep. But it was just gone. When I really focused on the silence, I heard something else. It was a laugh. It was loud, but far away. And it was a horrible laugh, like something you'd hear from a clown in a cheap horror movie. My first thought was that someone was walking down the sidewalk outside and laughing, because that was the only thing that made sense. But the laugh didn't sound like anything was moving. Instead, it started getting louder. Not fast, just slowly getting louder. At some point, I realized it sounded like it was right outside my window. For context, we were on the second floor. I remember thinking about how my brother still hadn't woken up. He wasn't moving, he wasn't reacting at all, and that actually scared me more than the laugh did. I didn't want to turn around, but I also didn't want my imagination to just make it worse, so I forced myself to look out the window. There was nothing there. Nothing at all. No person, no shadow. Nothing that I could explain. but I could still hear the laugh. It was like it was coming from right where the glass was, and that's where I became scared of my own mind. I didn't know if this was something real or just something wrong with me, and that somehow felt worse. I ran out of the room and straight to my dad's room without looking back. I don't remember when the laugh stopped. I don't remember falling asleep. I just know that nothing ever explained it, and I've never heard silence like that since.
The Hallway by Eric. My daughter and I love listening to scary story podcasts, specifically ghosts and cryptid stories, and she asked me to share mine. At the time of this experience, I was 19 years old, living in California. In 2013, I found myself kicked out of my folks' house and new to the workforce. I took a job as a packaging employee for my local newspaper. My shifts ran from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. I worked on the ground floor of a three-story facility in the warehouse and production part of the building. The front half of the first floor held HR, upper management offices, conference rooms, and a break area. Past a set of double doors was a massive printing room, nearly half the length of a football field, filled with giant rolls of blank newspaper material. Beyond that was a larger production warehouse with conveyors and pallets of adverts. This is where I worked. When I was new, for a few nights after my shift, but before riding my bike home, I explored the building. I had never worked in a large facility like this before, and I was curious. I wandered into odd corners of the warehouse and found old printing equipment, outdated and clearly set aside. The second floor held the writer's cubicles, with a few editor or executive offices at either end. This floor was brighter and cleaner than the warehouse below. Writers working at 2 or 3 in the morning wouldn't look up from their screens, and if they noticed me, I was asked to move along. If you took the elevator to the third floor, you'd enter a long, unremarkable hallway, lined with about a dozen small conference rooms on either side. Each had a closed door with a small window. At the far end of the hallway was the employee gym. The hallway ran the full length of the building, and the lights were always on. I never once saw them turned off. The conference rooms were always dark, identical, and empty, except for chairs and a long table. I sometimes felt watched while up there at night, but I never saw anyone. One night on break, a coworker came over to chat. I didn't talk much at work, and no one had really tried to make conversation with me before. He asked if I had explored the building. I told him I checked out the first and second floors, and had gone as far as the gym on the third floor. "At 3 after work?" he asked, looking shocked. He said plainly, like I should already know, "Man, you know the third floor is haunted." I told him I didn't know that, but I did feel weird up there. He told me if I wanted to use the gym, I should come during the daytime on my days off. Other coworkers overheard us and shook their heads. They said not to go up there at night, that it was creepy, and that several of them had felt presences before. No one elaborated, just that you shouldn't go up there. Naturally, I didn't care. I wasn't going to come work out across town on my days off. I mostly used the gym to shower and stretch before riding the 14 miles home. I kept going up there for about a week after that conversation. On the third or fourth night, I was thinking my coworkers were full of shit, and that the feeling of being watched was all in my head. but something changed. I walked out of the elevator into the hallway like normal. All the hallway lights were on, like always. The conference rooms were dark, like always. I used the gym, took a shower, got dressed, slung my backpack on, and walked back into the hallway. That's when it got weird. The moment I stepped out, I felt heavy, like something was pushing down on my shoulders. I looked up and noticed that the lights at the far end of the hall, past the gym, were off. Those lights were always on. There were no sensors or timers. I thought maybe the bulbs had gone out. I started walking toward the elevator. As I walked, the lights above me began turning off one at a time as I passed beneath each fluorescent fixture. Then, as I passed each conference room door, the lights inside those rooms turned on one by one. The chairs were still pulled up to the tables. I stopped, and everything paused. I walked again, and the sequence continued. I walked faster. The lights shut off faster. I started running, and the hallway felt longer than normal, like I ran it three times before I finally reached the elevator. The lights chased me the entire way. When I got inside and the elevator doors closed, the heaviness and the weird feeling vanished instantly. After that, I skipped showering upstairs and stretched in the warehouse instead. I couldn't tell you what happened. If I had to guess, I think I walked into some kind of liminal space, some place I passed through regularly without thinking and didn't notice until that night. I'd been up there before at the same time, and nothing like that has ever happened. That newspaper no longer uses the building. The internet made most newspapers obsolete, but I still think about it at least once a day.
The Owl and the Three Hooded Figures by Anonymous. In my 30s, and with all the things that are being disclosed in the media, I thought it was about time to speak on this story. It happened years ago. I was about 12 years old. This incident happened in two parts. One part was in a semi-dream state. It felt nice. The other part, while I was wide awake and paralyzed, this was terrible. On to part one. I woke up around 2:30 or 3 in the morning and went to my window, semi-asleep, groggy, on autopilot. Outside the window on a tree branch, for the first time, I saw this massive, 4-foot-tall white owl. I live in a tropical, sunny climate. We do not have white owls. The few that we have are rare, especially in the city. I have only ever seen these white owls in books, but never this tall. And these were the pre-internet days. Through the window, the owl felt kind, and it kind of motioned me over. That's when the memory goes strange, though, because I have an almost out-of-body experience, and suddenly I get a third-person perspective of me talking to the owl. The owl kind of doesn't look like a tall white owl anymore. It now has limbs, almost like a traditional gray. At the same time, I definitely can't say it was a gray alien because the memory is glitchy to this day. All I know is that I felt safe and blissed out when this was happening. And no, I don't remember what it asked or what I said. I can only remember my mouth moving and that I was speaking. This brings me to part two. The next night, or maybe two nights after the owl encounter, Once again, I suddenly found myself wide awake in the middle of the night. I was on my belly, and my face was turned to the side. I could see the same tall owl, or gray, outside on a tree branch. This time, I couldn't move. In my periphery, I could see three hooded figures in the room with me. I began to panic, but then it got bad. I felt something metal and cold press against my back, then the most mind-numbing, searing pain I could ever imagine. It felt like there was some kind of surgery being performed. The pain was so excruciating that the room started spinning, and suddenly there was a time skip. It was morning, around 9 a.m. I was wide awake, but still terrified and in shock. For weeks, I didn't feel safe sleeping, and I used to cry a lot, just remembering the pain. I didn't mention any of this to anyone. I have had multiple sleep paralysis episodes since then, and I can say with conviction that the incident with the three hooded figures was not like the many sleep paralysis incidents that I have had since that day. Additionally, there have been many paranormal incidents in and around the area. The memory of the first incident feels wrong. It feels kind of glitchy. It's not like a hazy memory or something I'm struggling to remember. I remember it perfectly. It's just that it's glitchy inside of my memory. That's the strange part. The time skip wasn't like I fell unconscious and then woke up. It wasn't one of those moments where people think that they are asleep for a few minutes and then 6 hours have passed. Instead, what happened to me was an instant. 1 second, searing pain, and it's night outside. The next second, it was bright and sunny outside. I didn't even blink. It was an instant. I'm sure somebody will suggest getting hypnosis, but no, I'm not going to go through any regression. I've moved on from that incident, and I am simply not going to revisit it. The three lanky hooded figures did not seem evil, but they also didn't seem good. Their presence was neutral. While they were operating, or whatever, the white owl or gray alien thing was trying to calm me down in my mind. I have had several sleep paralysis episodes, even to this day, and it's happened so much that I may be an expert on that topic and have learned to love the experiences, like lucid dreams and visions. I have many good reference points. The incidents described did not feel like any kind of sleep paralysis, because that's happened several times over the years, and I built sort of a relationship with this side of things and have been connected with spiritual experiences ever since that day. I have the memory of searing pain from the three lanky hooded figures doing something on my back with something cold and metallic, followed by the time skip and the loss of 7 hours. The incident didn't feel like regular sleep paralysis. I was 100% aware. I still struggle to sleep on my stomach because of that memory. I also can't sleep without curtains covering the windows.
Weretiger by M. Benedict. My father-in-law, David, was born in Calcutta, India, in 1943 to American missionaries. His father worked in the rural foothills of the Himalayas, learning local languages in order to translate the Christian Bible into local people's language. One day, when David was a young teenager, he traveled from his boarding school to visit his father in the village where he was translating. He was also creating a written language for this group of Indians, since they didn't speak or read Hindi or Bengali. When David arrived, the housekeeper informed him that his father was in another village and would return the next day. Since his father wasn't home yet, David decided to explore the village. He walked around for a while, and then noticed that everything went silent. The birds, the people, even the insects. Then he saw a full-grown Bengal tiger walking down the main road of the village. A woman suddenly grabbed him and dragged him into her house. They looked out the window together and watched as the tiger walked toward the village shaman's house. When the tiger reached the house, it stood up on its back legs and transformed into the shaman. Then he entered the house. David ran back to his father's house and told the housekeeper what he had seen, how the tiger had turned into a man. The housekeeper told David that the shaman couldn't transform into a tiger when the missionary was home. After that, whenever David would see the shaman in the village, the shaman would always smile at him, a knowing smile. Although this story didn't happen to me directly, I believe my father-in-law's account. Whatever he witnessed with the tiger frightened him immensely, and he was never able to explain it.
The Time Everything Slowed Down by Kai. This is something that I will always remember and wonder what, why, and how it happened. My family and I went out for a movie night at the cinema. We parked in an underground parking lot, but it was only one level, and the cinema itself was open, so people could just walk from the parking lot to it. I know there's probably a simpler explanation for this, but I don't know how to describe it. Anyway, my family and I parked, got out of the car, and walked into the movie. We finished the movie and started heading back toward the parking lot. We stopped at the edge between the parking lot and the movie theater to wait to cross. I think I was in middle school at the time. Well, all of a sudden, a black car drove up. I think it might have been an SUV. But I'm no expert with cars. There was a little boy sticking his head out of the back window. And that is when time stopped completely. All of a sudden, it was just him and me looking at each other. It felt like 10 minutes had passed. I was just standing there with my family, but it felt like I was out of body. It was like I was in between two dimensions. I know this sounds crazy. I can't explain how it went from me standing with my family to just being him. Time stopped completely. I subconsciously knew that I was with my family and where I was, but it was just us two. I didn't feel anyone else's presence. I felt like I knew this boy. The boy was about my age. It sounds stupid, but I felt, or somehow knew, he was someone I would meet in the future. After those 10 minutes, I snapped out of this trance. Time resumed and the car had already driven away before I could register what had just happened. I know this sounds made up, but it isn't. I don't know how to make any sense of it. Has anyone else had something happen to them that they couldn't explain like this? Or maybe something nobody else would believe?
Meeting the Shadow by Kathleen. This story takes place in an old farmhouse in Minnesota on a very cold night. My husband was in the military, and while he was deployed, my son and I went to visit his family. My son was about 14 months old, and we were given a small room in the basement, where I slept on a twin bed against the wall, and my son was sleeping in his pack and play, across the room from me. When I say it was very cold, it was minus 20 outside, and the room was drafty. I normally sleep with a light on when my husband is gone. I don't like the dark. It's scary when I'm alone. Yet to make sure my son slept, I had all the lights off. there was just a bit of moonlight that shone through an egress window. In this dark room, I climbed under heavy blankets and fell asleep. At 3 a.m., I woke, wide awake, to someone sitting next to me on this little bed. I was terrified as I peeked out from the blankets, and in the light of the moon, I saw a tall shadow sitting on my bed. It was in the shape of a man, a big man, and he just sat there. It felt like he was looking at me, and then I realized I wasn't scared of him. I was scared of the dark, but looking at him, I wasn't afraid. I watched as he stood up and moved to the pack and play. He seemed to lean over. I could almost feel him smiling as he watched my son sleep. Then he stood up and disappeared. I felt fear enter the room again as he left. I checked on my son with the light on my phone, then willed myself to go back to sleep. In the morning, I talked about it with my mother-in-law. She told me that the room I was sleeping in was the same room her and her husband shared. I knew that her husband had cancer and died a year before I started dating her son. He died in that room. He had always wanted to see his son marry and have kids, but died 2 years before we were married. I truly believe that my father-in-law came to meet me and his grandson, the last of his family he was never able to meet in life. That's why I wasn't afraid. I really think he was happy with who we were and was proud of his youngest grandson. I'm very happy that I had the chance to meet him, even if it was after death. This experience has taught me to not fear the shadows in the room. They may just be family saying hi.
Odd Life Event by Character Ad 6260. It's been almost 20 years since the events of my story, but it's an experience that has always haunted me. I joined the Navy in 2002 and was stationed in Japan from 2005. It must have been late summer of 2004. I went out for a quick drink with a good friend who was processing out and leaving the next day. We went to a bar, had one last drink together, and did karaoke. We sang This Love by Pantera. After our drink, I walked with him to a cab, we said our goodbyes, and he headed to a hotel room that he had, I think. Well, regardless, he wasn't going back to the base like I was. The walk back to the base isn't a long one. I'm horrible at guessing distances, but I'd say it was less than a mile. I left the side of town with the bar and went through a shopping area. I then crossed over a small footbridge that leads to a small park. And this is where things slowly became strange for me. As I crossed over the footbridge, it seemed like things were very dreamlike. It was nighttime, but somehow everything had a vibrant yet soft hue to it. At the same time, the light just felt different, brighter than the park's street or path lights should have been. I realized one of my shoes was untied, so I sat down on a bench to tie it. I finished, stood up, and then I don't remember completing my first step. I remember nothing. The next thing I recall is coming to while on a park bench outside of the train station. While it was within walking distance, it was substantially farther away. I tried to gather myself and look at my watch. It was after 7 a.m. I knew I was supposed to be back on the ship the previous night. I began to panic, and as soon as I stood up to run back, there was nothing. Next, I'm very groggy and trying to wake up. I'm in what I think is the landing of an indoor stairwell. After a few moments, I see people scatter away from me. They were small. I remember this because I thought they were school kids staring at me, and I felt incredibly embarrassed and confused. I don't even remember getting up from this one. I was so weak that it felt like I just fell asleep. The next thing I remember, a medic is trying to wake me up, or keep me awake, by asking me about my watch. He told me he had one just like it. I was in a base ambulance headed back to base. Apparently, a Japanese local found me face down in the rain on a sidewalk, just a few hundred yards from the main gates, and alerted the guards. Eventually, I learned I was gone for 4 days. I've never written this out before. There's more, but I guess that's the main gist of the story. But thanks for reading.
So not exactly a comment, but we did get an email from Clista. That's an interesting name. Haven't heard that one before.
Mm-mm.
She says, since the Apple Podcast app updated a few months ago, it's not just the podcast title that displays anymore, but the title of the chapter. When the episode ends and it goes to you guys chatting, it always names it this. And then she sent me a screenshot of her car's radio system, and I'm going to show you what it says.
Okay.
It's amazing. Listener feedback and
anal,
yeah. Analysis, I'm guessing, but usually they'll do like the ellipses at the end and let people know that they're cutting off the word, but no, it just straight up says right there on her car radio, listener feedback and anal. Odd trails.
That's funny because, yeah, I feel like on that episode, we just jumped directly into the anal talk about the anal cramps. And it's going to happen again here, I think.
You know, I didn't even think about the anal cramps. That's funny. That's, wow.
That's probably why. Yeah, in fact, that's what everyone's talking about on Discord right now. They're all talking about different bodily responses that can lead to anal cramps. It's so funny.
I think we need like a house proctologist for Odd Trails.
Yeah.
Any volunteers?
I thought that's where one of my stories was going to go when they said that they were lying on their stomach and they felt something cold on their back or something. We'll get to it, but I thought that's where it was going. This is going to be a weird week. And I think that it's going to show anal again because it's AI that's probably picking up on what we're saying and creating chapters and stuff. So we'll see.
Of course. That's just one more thing we're going to have to start doing to defeat the AI overlords is manually putting in the chapters and just everything else. Cause otherwise they're going to do it themselves.
The work stuff. Ugh, I hate that stuff.
Work. Yeah. Hate that song. Sorry.
I do too. Actually what we should do is on our outros, we should start off talking about something that we know is going to give it a funny title on the chapter.
Because you do, yeah, you usually start with, all right, let's start with some listener feedback or whatever. So we should just do some random words to start it off with.
Yeah, next week we'll just start it off with anal.
I like it.
Yeah.
Not anal, but the idea anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not going to judge.
Yeah, I'll try anything once, but I'm good. It's whatever.
Spotify, this person's name is just all numbers, I'm assuming it just got applied to them automatically. They said, regarding the hallucinations from sleep deprivation, the hallucinations come from being overly tired, not strictly being awake for 24 hours plus. I've been a lifelong insomniac and sleeping poorly or intermittently for days at a time absolutely causes visual and auditory hallucinations. Yeah, I don't think we were alluding to the fact that it's just like a certain number of hours. Exhaustion, for sure.
Yeah.
On Discord, I just put out the feeler and be like, hey, do you guys have any questions for us? Anything that you've been thinking about? And Colleen, one of our longtime listeners, says, has the recording of the stories that you've been sent bled into your everyday life, if at all? For me to answer that, I think that at the start of the show, we saw a lot of like weird, unexplainable things happening to us. We've documented that throughout the show. But in recent times, since that's all kind of eased up a bit. For me, it's mostly just been weird dreams. Whenever I read weird stories on the podcast, I always end up having dreams that are similar to those stories.
Weird. Yeah, I haven't had any dreams that directly relate to the stories that we've read on here. I can't really say anything for certain, though, other than the obvious three loud bangs situation and then the marching over my head when there's not a creature stirring in the house and I'm positive of it. Oh, yeah, and that laughter that I heard, like, right up the stairs immediately outside of my office. I forget about that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And we have that laugh story this week, and that totally should have jogged my memory. That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, let me refresh people's memory, maybe some new listeners, very briefly, but I was downstairs in my office editing, very late night session one Saturday night, and as I'm editing, I just hear, out of nowhere, directly outside of my door, up maybe five steps, a very, very strong, distinct sound of the most stereotypical horror movie sound of a child's giggle, just the kind of like in Are You Afraid of the Dark, that laughter that you hear. It was just like that, loud and clear. And yeah, there was nothing going on. All the electronics were turned off everywhere. I wasn't listening to music. It wasn't some notification that surprised me anywhere. It was just laughter, clear as day. And of course, I went upstairs to investigate. It took me all but 2 seconds to step out of my door and see everything out in front of me. Went upstairs, looked all around, and no, nothing, but for sure heard that laughter. And yeah, it gives me chills thinking about it. But that's it.
Yeah. Well, let's use that as a segue to jump into that laugh story. We can come back to the rest of the comments later. I want to talk about it. This one was really interesting to me, and especially interesting now that you bring that up. It's funny that laughter can be considered such a sinister thing, you know, like a sinister laugh or a creepy laugh or a creepy smile. I wonder where that comes from.
I don't know. I feel like I have an answer, but I can't quite verbalize it. I think it's probably just we have expectations of laughter. It's supposed to be associated with happiness, but there's just something about maybe like an evil person who laughs because they enjoy the misery they're inflicting on people. So laughter doesn't always necessarily have to be tied to a good thing. So there's some association with those who are evil and take joy out of the things that they do. So maybe there's some bleed over there.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. During your laughter event, was the house really, really quiet? Like a little too quiet?
Yeah, you know, it was completely silent. I was actually paused from the editing. I was reading, I believe, and then it just popped up. Just this crazy, scary. It was like mischievous, though. It wasn't like an evil thing. It wasn't like a mocking thing. It was just very like, ha-ha. Yeah, really, really strange.
I think of Nelson from The Simpsons standing outside your door laughing at you.
That's, yeah, pretty much. It was Nelson, but I'm assuming a girl.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so ha-ha. It was just like a long, chuckly giggle.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a similarity there with the laugh story. It was a little too quiet, a little too raff, as they would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I got to bring this up. They were talking about how usually there's a noise when they're sleeping, whether that be traffic, sirens, their brother snoring or something. And my obsession with having to have a noise while sleeping has gotten worse as I've gotten older. It used to be I could sleep in complete silence and I needed complete silence. And then it got to the point where I kind of like needed the TV on or music going. And then I started using a white noise machine. And that wasn't enough. So I started using fans and those weren't enough. And I got one of those, not industrial fans, but like the ones you would use like in a garage or something that like, vroom! And we have that in our bedroom now. And I run that and it sounds like a warehouse.
I mean, that's fair. I think the hum of an airplane, that's so easy to sleep to. Even if the chairs are bad and I'm too cheap to get first class, I still like the sound of an airplane when everything else is quiet.
Yeah.
Flying in the air right before sunrise and some windows are open. You have that blue purplish tint and kind of tired. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't sleep without like noise. And the more noise I have, the better I sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full-ass drone show going on in my bedroom when we go to sleep.
I have mixed feelings about it because I also sleep with a very loud noise machine, but I feel paranoid like, oh, if there's going to be an intruder, I won't be able to hear them.
Yeah.
So it's such like a a weird balance. I just have to trust my dogs to take care of business.
I was going to say, how is Chi-Chi about that? Because, you know, she's a Chihuahua.
She's deaf.
Yeah, she's elderly now. Yeah.
Yeah. Ben can take care of business, though, but I don't know. We'll see about that. He's all bark, no bite, which I guess is probably a good thing. I can do all the biting myself, so it's fine. If I got to jump out into the hallway and take care of business. Well, hey, segues, there we go again.
I saw that segue coming.
So Eric's story, The Hallway, as he titled it, I liked the description of this place. The whole liminal space thing, always creepy, but still nostalgic in a weird way. The main thing I guess we can really touch on is the hallway lights responded to movement. They paused when he stopped and resumed when he moved again. Obviously, it didn't really seem like a coincidence or some sort of malfunction. And his coworkers warned him of this place, so it's even more likely that something is actually going on, not just a mechanical failure, but maybe something was trying to interact with him.
Yeah, and we see that where electricity, for some reason, has some type of connection to another world or another dimension, a different plane. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know where it comes from. David Lynch is really heavy on it. He's all about like radio waves and electricity and stuff. And yeah, I could totally see that happening. I could see that being the case.
Yeah, we'll never really know. I think the story doesn't really have a whole lot of conclusions we can jump to for my Office Space fans. I just don't know if not having confirmation makes it scarier or if knowing the truth would be even worse. We're kind of left with the whole a few good men thing. You can't handle the truth, or we can't handle the truth as much as we think we can.
Yeah. You're talking about like liminal spaces. So there's this story that I talked about in this episode, the one where everything slowed down. I thought that was really interesting. And while this doesn't necessarily have a liminal space feel to it, there was a response to that slowed down story where, you know, where the kid saw the other kid in the car and everything slowed down. There was a response to that on Reddit, and somebody told a story about going to this grocery store. Both the person who posted the comment and their spouse describe every time they go into this grocery store, life slows down. It's like the music's slower. Everybody's moving slower. It's like a liminal type feel. It's almost uncanny, I would say. And that got me thinking about places like that, that you could go into and it just feels like you step into a different world all of a sudden. It's like going into like a small bookstore from a busy, bustling mall or something. And it's just completely quiet. You shut the door and hear the little bell ring when the door shuts and just complete silence. And you're like, ah, this is nice. This is what life used to be like. There was so much more quiet when we were younger.
It makes me think of the album Floral Shop by Macintosh Plus. That first track is like a really slowed down, not chopped and screwed, but just a slowed down version of a Diana Ross song. And something about it is just so heavenly and nostalgic, and everything feels actually slowed down. It's like my meditative go-to song. Yeah, Macintosh Plus, Floral Shop.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. It's great. There's a place in our hometown, our local Rayleigh's, that I always like to go to when I visit because they haven't really remodeled much and it feels like you're stepping into a time capsule. And it's almost similar to what that comment on that story said on Reddit was, where it does seem like time kind of slows down and you're like walking into the past. It's cool.
I really don't like how so many businesses feel the need to remodel and modernize and all that stuff. I get it. Like, it's good to rebrand here and there and keep things fresh. But I wonder how many businesses are really looking back and thinking, oh, darn, we should have just kept it authentic as much as possible.
Yeah.
There's a really good cafeteria-style food place. It's made fresh, but you just walk down this, not a corridor, but like a like a cafeteria line with your tray.
Sure.
It's in Texas. It's in Brownwood, Texas. It's so good. And inside it, it's like trapped in the early 80s, late 70s. And it's one of my favorite places to go. Get some good peach cobbler and some really good country meals. It's so amazing. So I think more places should keep their original look. a lot of people that you initially drew into it can appreciate that. Taco Bell, you done goofed. We don't care about this whole...
Yuck. Doctor's office. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting the corporate Basquiat type paintings that they try to seem all hip and cool about. It's just no. Go back to how you had it before.
You know, I got to give props to is In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah. Good example.
I feel like I'm home every time I go there. I feel like I'm stepping back in time to being a kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think McDonald's might even be like the worst when it comes to that. I mean, I don't really eat there anymore, but still, like, they just completely shifted gears. They want to look like a Starbucks now or something.
Can you imagine what it would do for their business, for our generation at least, that would turn us back on to McDonald's if they just reverted, or if they popped up like some new McDonald's that were retro McDonald's?
Yeah, no, they would make a killing.
Yeah.
They don't have to bring back the play place. Like, I get that. Like, we're in a different time now. Like, people are, I don't know what's going on, what's in the water. But I think if McDonald's were to do that, but also have like some more transparent resolution about their ingredients and where they source their food and how they prepare it and what ingredients actually go in there. If they, not like full health, let's not fool ourselves, it's still fast food, but if they did something meaningful with like the quality of their meat or additives, like they could really...
Like In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. They could totally get me back. Anyway, let's talk about a story here. I want to talk about my owl story. It's just because, you know, I have that connection to it. I keep having dreams about owls. I wrote a song about it recently just because it's been so prevalent, but I keep seeing them in my dreams and they keep popping up. I keep seeing pictures of owls, or they show up in movies that I'm watching. It's probably just because I'm paying more attention to them now because they're in my psyche, but I've seen a lot of owls, and this was almost a classic abduction story. I brought it up earlier how they said that they felt like this metallic cold sensation pressing onto their back, which I thought was going to be a probe. It was not, but they did say it was one of the most painful experiences they've ever had. And it was like these three hooded figures in their room. But prior to that, they had that cool experience where they saw like a 4-foot owl outside of their window that morphed into a gray alien. This story just had like all of the beats that we like here on Trails, the owls, the aliens. We're sad and we're upset that this happened to you by all means, but it is what we're looking for on the podcast. And I'm so happy that we found this story because we have so many, like, I guess, vague stories, like where they're like, I don't know if it was an abduction. I don't know if this was an alien encounter. It could have been a sleep paralysis. This one was like dead serious. This was an alien encounter for sure. And I just kind of missed that.
Yeah, it's not the first time that I've heard of owls being associated with aliens, which is pretty interesting. Wouldn't normally make that connection, but it is a recurring thing that we see.
Mm-hmm.
I like how this one was kind of calming and euphoric for their first experience, and then the next time it was just so traumatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Took a turn.
Made me think of the owl bear from Baldur's Gate.
I want to be the owl from Little Bear.
Cute. I want to be owl from Winnie the Pooh.
There we go. Yeah. Two owls facing off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they also brought up that they can't sleep without curtains now on their windows. I agree. I could never sleep with a window being exposed. I do not like that feeling.
Oh, no. Yeah, I tape up tiny little LEDs on whatever things I have. Like, I have a charger. I need to get rid of it. But for whatever reason, there's this indicator LED, super bright and obnoxious. Just, no, not necessary. Not necessary. Mm-hmm. I tape up all of that. Or if I'm in a hotel room, I cover up the tiny little LED on the TV in there.
Yeah,
I don't like having TVs in the bedroom and just, yeah, no, I try to avoid it as much as I can.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, before we go, I just want to finish off our comments because I did ask Discord and they did respond. So I want to give them their answers, their feedback.
Sure.
To finish off, Haley said, what's something silly that you'd like the answer to? It won't change anything. It's not as if it'll revolutionize society. Just a question that's always been an itch that you want to have answered, and the world goes on. What's a silly thing that you'd like to have answered? A little question.
I mean, I already feel like intelligent life has been in contact with the Earth, but I just really want the government to lay all their cards on the table and tell us once and for all, like, yeah, aliens, we've been in contact, or yeah, we found a body, something like that. Just give us some sort of thing instead of these slow leaks like the Epstein files. Just give it to us straight up. You know, just I would just overall government transparency, any sort of intelligence that doesn't actually harm national security as much as they claim it does. Mm-hmm. I would just like full government transparency and let the people decide for themselves how we're going to respond.
Hmm. Okay. That's actually not a silly question. That's a pretty serious question.
Oh, yeah, I took it all seriously. Never mind.
That's okay. That's worth it. Wait, we still got something out of it. I don't really actually have any of those off the top of my head. It would be like silly things like why we still have tailbones or why I always sneeze when I look at the sun, you know, little things like that.
Oh, here we go. Why men have nipples. Like, actually, why do men have nipples? Yeah. It makes sense. Like, XY, XX. It's like our boobs didn't fully disappear.
I guess it kind of feels good, you know, during fun time, you know?
Yeah.
Kay said, if travel wasn't an issue, which haunted or spooky location would you most like to visit? We've talked about a lot of them on the show. I would say probably the place in Scotland that was referenced in a recent episode, just because I want to go to Scotland. I just found out through the Ancestry.com website that I'm all Scottish. Like, my family all comes from Scotland in the 1600s. So I kind of just want to go there, but also because I want to visit that spooky place.
I'm trying to really think here. There's so many.
You sound like Donald Trump when they asked him what his favorite verse in the Bible was. Because he said it was his favorite book. And he's like, well, I don't want to get into specifics. I don't know. It's all good. It's a very good book. I didn't quote a single verse.
As much as we've already talked about Skinwalker Ranch.
No, I think Skywalker Ranch has some mysterious stuff about it too. I think it is. Right?
Yeah. All right. Let's go with that. Let's go with Skywalker Ranch. Let's go ghost hunting there. That's my number one.
Yeah.
Marin County, beautiful place, the best place.
That's what they're telling me. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Everybody knows this.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks everybody so much for listening and hanging out. I know we kind of rambled a lot in this outro, but hey, happy Super Bowl day. Make sure you send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com to hear them on the show and sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails for ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. And check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast. We'll see you next week. Stay safe.
Peace out.
Ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.